the rest of the story.
As a young man, this is many years before that significant meeting in a harness store in Galena, as a very young man, Eli Parker found most doors closed to him. Growing up in an environment teeming with racial prejudice, Parker struggled to fit into the white man's world. His first book learning took place in a missionary school. He wanted to become a lawyer, but after 3 years working in a law office, he was refused admittance to the bar because of his race. So he searched for a school that would accept him, and he was accepted by the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and he graduated as an engineer, and soon he was employed as such. His first projects were on the Erie Canal, and later the U.S. government would ask him to supervise construction of buildings and levees, and then in 1860, his official responsibilities took him to Galena. Eventually, it was the friend he met there, a former Army captain named Grant, who cut through enough Union red tape to get Eli Parker commissioned. Well, Captain Parker's valor at Vicksburg would win him a promotion. His expertise contributed in no small way to the eventual victory of the North. This I've neglected to mention among the personal compromises of Eli Samuel Parker in the painstaking process of becoming accepted in white society was the changing of his rightful name. Originally, his name was Donehagawa. Donehagawa, that means, in the language of the Iroquois Indians, keeper of the western door. For the home of Eli Parker's birth was the Tonawanda Reservation in New York State. Eli Parker was a Native American. If you've never known him, now I hope you'll never forget him. And first and foremost, I want you to recall that he was present with his friend Ulysses Grant from Vicksburg to Richmond to Appomattox. He, Lieutenant Colonel Parker, was there for the ceremony of surrender when Lee laid down his sword. The sword that Eli Parker's pen was mightier than, because, as inevitably engineering must involve artistry, Eli Parker was undeniably artistic. When it came time to hand write the terms of surrender, when it became evident that nobody else present felt equal to that task, there on the spot, the Union commander, remembering Parker's excellent, elegant penmanship, handed the clean sheets of paper to the Iroquois colonel, and history was inscribed thereon. Now may you always know that as surely as the saga of the white man and his red brother is written in blood, it was the hand of a man named Donehagawa, an American Indian, that wrought the white man's peace. For now you know the rest of the story.